Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I am Jerry Dennison, one of the ministers of the Pinetop Church of Christ. I encourage you to open your Bible and to search the Scripture with me to see whether or not the things we teach are true. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, commends the Jews of Berea for searching the Scriptures to see whether or not the things taught by the Apostle Paul were true. That should be our attitude also. If you have questions or comments regarding anything that we teach, we would like the opportunity to study the Bible with you. You may email us at pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com or like us on Facebook. Our desire and intent is to speak where the Bible speaks and to be silent where the Bible is silent, that we may indeed speak as the oracles of God. We invite you to the services of the Pinetop Church of Christ, 1102 Pinetop Road, Russell Springs, Kentucky, in the Windsor community of Russell County. Due to the corona pandemic, we are having one service at 10:30 using an FM transmitter to your car's FM radio in the parking lot. I have been reading a biography and sermons of Marshall Keble. Marshall Keble was born on a farm in Rutherford County, Tennessee, December the 7th, 1878. He died April the 20th, 1968 in Nashville, Tennessee. His preaching career spanned some 70 years, and his last sermon was preached 3 days before his death. One of Brother Keble's sermons is titled, "Been to Worship, But Wrong." As we look at this lesson today, let's search the Scriptures to see what the Holy Spirit revealed about to worship to God. Is it possible to worship, but that worship be wrong? Please open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 8, and read with me verses 26 through 39. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, into the way that goeth from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of the Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. And the place where the scripture which he read was this, And he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Let's consider some of the points that Brother Keble noted. This man went a long way, yet he was wrong. He was a man of some standing to hold the position of treasurer of the queen of the Ethiopians. He would have been intellectually qualified from an educational standpoint. To prove that he was sincere, earnest, honest, and meant right, like many today, he got in his chariot, went a long way across the desert up to the city of Jerusalem to worship. While he was worshiping or on his way back, no doubt God was making arrangements for his minister Philip, a minister of the gospel of the Son of God, to preach to him. And as he was returning home in his chariot, he was busy reading. The eunuch was reading the scripture. All need to take time to search the scripture, because in them we learn what God wants us to do. Philip got in the chariot with him, and from that scripture in Isaiah preached to him Jesus. Brother Keeble stated, "You can't preach Jesus, you can't preach a complete Christ without getting into some water." This passage shows that baptism is immersion, not sprinkling or pouring. The scripture the eunuch was reading is from Isaiah chapter 53. Philip made the eunuch understand that the prophet was talking about the Christ that was murdered and slain upon the cross like a lamb on Calvary. And while Philip was preaching Christ and him crucified, the eunuch learned that there was water in the plant and said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Brother Keeble would say, "I am so glad the man said, 'Here is water.' So glad it was water that you can see. Because if it wasn't, my sectarian friends would want to oppose baptism in water and make like it was the Holy Ghost, make like it was spiritual water. It's a water that can be seen, and a spirit you cannot see. So I know he wasn't talking about the spirit." Philip said to him, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And the eunuch said to him, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." When the eunuch said that, what happened? The chariot stopped. They both got out of the chariot. They both went down into the water. Philip baptized the eunuch, and they both came up out of the water. Philip didn't go into the water by himself and bring out water to sprinkle or pour on the eunuch. Both went down into the water, and after the eunuch was baptized, he went on his way rejoicing. He went rejoicing because after being baptized in water, he was born again. The Bible teaches one Lord, one faith, one baptism in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. That one baptism is water baptism. In John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus, the Lamb of God, says, "Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Brother Keeble told of preaching in the courthouse yard in Fayetteville, Tennessee. He was preaching on water baptism, showing that one cannot be saved without it, when a big policeman approached him and asked permission to ask a question. His question was, "If you had a man to be baptized, already had his confession, and took him in an automobile to carry him to be baptized, and the automobile was in a wreck before you got to the water, and the young man was killed before he was baptized, what becomes of him? Is he lost or is he saved?" Brother Keeble answered, "According to the Bible, he is lost." And as the policeman turned away, he said, "I am sure you're wrong." Brother Keeble then stopped him and wanted to ask him a question. He asked, "Did you ever know of anyone getting killed en route to baptism?" When he responded no, Brother Keeble asked, "Why pop that supposition to me?" And as their conversation continued, Brother Keeble asked him a question on supposition. "Suppose a young man and a young lady are engaged to be married, and they go to the courthouse and purchase a license. They engage the county court clerk to marry them. He gets ready to perform the ceremony, and the young man drops dead with heart failure. Though they were standing before the county clerk court about to perform the ceremony, if the county court clerk did not actually perform the ceremony, were they man and wife? The policeman answered, no. In baptism, we marry Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The baptism that we read about in the Bible is for the remission of sin. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Some will say, I don't think water has anything to do with it. Look at 2 Kings chapter 5, where Naaman was told to go down and to dip himself 7 times in Jordan. He wanted the prophet to rub his hands over him and to tell the disease to go away. But the prophet told him to dip himself in Jordan and didn't back get down. God has told us to be baptized for the remission of sins and didn't take it back. Philip didn't get some testimony from the eunuch and then present it to the church to vote on the eunuch. Philip, a preacher of the gospel, met a man, taught him about Christ and him crucified. And when the man believed and confessed his faith in Jesus, then Philip baptized him into the body of Christ, the church that Jesus bought with his own blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary. The eunuch was then a new creature, having his sins forgiven, and went on his way rejoicing. We must have faith in Jesus, but that faith must cause us to obey. Peter told the Jews on Pentecost to repent and be baptized. The eunuch was baptized after he confessed his faith in Jesus. God's plan for salvation was revealed by the Holy Spirit in the first century for all time. We must hear and believe his commands. We must repent or turn to God's way. We must confess him before men and become his child by being baptized into his kingdom and live a life of faithful service to him to be able to receive the inheritance he has prepared for his children. If you have been taught a different gospel, let us study together that we may live a life that is pleasing unto God. Let's search the scripture daily. Study the context, consider all that the inspired writer said, and rightly divide the word of truth. In so doing, I think that you will come to the conclusion that there is a God, that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, who gave himself to provide atonement for our sins, that the Bible is his holy word, and that we will face this God on the day of judgment. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Then in verse 21, he said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Then in verse 24, Jesus said, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. We show our love for Jesus not by saying how much we love him, but by obeying what he has commanded. His commands are the commands of the Father. Therefore, we need to know what his commandments are so that we can keep them and thus be ready to stand before him to give an account of our life. Thank you for being a part of this study. Until next Sunday at 7:15, have a blessed week.